This is a podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Stand by for the call to order, or else we'll be joining the meeting already in progress.
Welcome, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to the regularly scheduled City Council meeting of the fourth day of November, 2019. Please, thank you so much. We're going to have the clerk read our mission statement into the record and take the roll. Thank you so much. And clerk?
It is the mission of the City of Fairbanks to provide quality essential services to all city residents to ensure Fairbanks is a vibrant place to live, work, thrive, and visit. I'll call the roll. Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Mr. Pruse?
Here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Ms. Kuhn?
Present.
Mr. Gibson?
Here.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mayor Matherly?
Here. Please rise for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
We are grateful for another opportunity to serve as representatives of the public. May each member participating have a clear understanding of the issues, and may this council's actions serve our community well. Amen.
Mr. Gibson, please lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Clerk?
There are no ceremonial matters this evening, so we're moving on to citizens' comments. Oral communications to the City Council on any item not up for public hearing. Testimony is limited to 3 minutes, and the comment period will end no later than 7:30 p.m. Any person wishing to speak needs to complete the register located in the hallway. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
Thank you, Clerk. You can see on the agenda, we're taking public comment now on this time for anything that's not up for public hearing. So it's pretty much wide open tonight. We don't have a lot on the agenda. So I'm going to ask Frank Turney to please come forward. Take the first chair, Victoria Dowling, the second one, please. So come on up, Frank. Name and address for the record as usual. And welcome back to City Hall, Frank.
I got one missing. I can see better out of it. Anyway, Frank Turney, 1434 Lacey Street. Looks like I had some senior moments last city council meeting. It seems like I stopped smoking that herb after 40-some years. It seemed like my emotions comes out a little more. So I'll try to get a grip tonight. First of all, I just want to give a little update. Schaefer Cox's hearing resends will be resumed tomorrow in Tacoma, Washington at 8:45. Mayor Jim Matley, the City Council. First of all, Mayor, and this council should be, you know that old song, knocking on heaven's door? Maybe you should be knocking on mental health trust funds doors and get some funding for our police officers. I notice they only get about 8 hours of training at the academy. Then, you know, I'd come out and support our police, get an increase of wages, dealing with that population. Damn it. Sorry about that. Dealing with that population that's suffering from mental illness, and that includes the inebriates on our street. You know, I just wonder, when's the last time Mayor and this city council is visited, not visited, took a tour of our city jail out here. You know, I talked to the superintendent, and that's all you have to do is request it to take a tour through there. And maybe you could see how many mental health clients we have in that facility. I noticed a judge just ordered that some angry judge or something ordered that you can't be jailing mentally ill anymore. I'm telling you something. It seems like that I've been watching this thing for years. It seems like in the summertime, you run all the inebriates and the mental health clients out of town. In the winter, I notice I see the same faces coming back in. I guess it's just for tourists. That's the only reason you're doing it. Seems like there's no real follow-up on these guys. I met some of them that are taking psychiatric medication. Some are taking too much, or some are not taking any at all. And there's no real follow-up. You know, I mentioned this when I was running. I've been in touch with the Interior delegation, and I'm putting a letter together to a governor. It's kind of comical. I didn't know you can get a personal letter, but you gotta click on three signals signs before you can get to him. You got a block of all kinds of things. You gotta click on three of them that are signal lights to get to him, to a personal message to the governor. One thing I brought up here was historic gambling. That would take the legislature to do that. I know a lot of people in this town. I'm not a high roller, but I know a lot of people go to Dawson City. They go to Reno to gamble. And, you know, I really believe it could bring a lot of revenue in this town, probably more than the cannabis or the alcohol industry or any other revenue in Fairbanks. So all they need is a license. And I'm working on that, and I do got a couple of the Interior delegation that are kind of interesting to introduce something. I know the last person that introduce it was Senator Betty Fahrenkamp. Quite a few years, she introduced a bill for story gambling, but it didn't go anywhere. But I think things have changed. One other thing, I see that the mayor, you put two more people on the diversity council, so that's November 12th at 5:30. And for the fourth time, race discrimination in the jury selection is on the agenda.
Thank you very much, Mr. Attorney.
Pardon?
I gave you another minute, but now that's the other minute.
Yeah,
so
thank you, Jerry. Anyway, does that bother you when you give me another minute, Mayor?
No, I gave you one already is what I'm saying.
He did it for you.
I gave you one.
Oh, you did?
You just had four
minutes. I didn't know if you were flagging me on or what.
No.
But
I gave
anyway,
you 4 minutes, sir.
But anyway, I think that you ought to take a serious look at it. It'd be nice to get a resolution out of this city here for story gambling.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Is there any questions, counsel?
Well, that's fine.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Attorney.
Anyway, thank you.
So, Victoria, why don't you bring that over to you. Mike Farrell, please come forward and take the other chair. I appreciate it. And name an address for the record, and welcome back to City Hall, Victoria.
Good evening, City Council and Mayor Matherly.
I'm going to have you bring the mic up right up to your mouth, please,
okay.
Victoria. Sorry. We got people on the radio listening. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm here again, third time in a row. I don't really want to make a habit of this, but... So the past two city council meetings, something invasive or shocking has happened to bring me here to testify before you. And tonight I am back. Thankfully, nothing has happened to create my presence here before you beyond my own thoughts and concerns about my city. As a property owner, I am painfully aware of property taxes and how they are used to generate revenue for our city. At the last city council meeting, I believe I heard the mayor say he was voted down when he brought up the solution for new revenue. I'm not sure if you were voted down for sales tax. I was having a little trouble hearing at the last meeting, so I want to be clear about this. The solution for our city and revenue is a sales tax. Sales tax is low and broad. It doesn't really impact people in a huge way. And I know how people feel about new taxes. I feel the same way about new taxes. How long can we go on like this without a substantial revenue windfall? And how can we seriously crawl out of the problems we are facing without considering something like this? I know that people don't like it. I don't like it. But what are we going to do, raise property taxes again? I mean, my property taxes were raised last year. I know there's a cap, but they still were. So I would like a sales tax to have minimal impact, and it would also include people who come into the city to shop, work, or whatever they do before they leave the city to go home. It would include tourists who come to our city. It would include seasonal workers who come to our city, and it would include just about everyone who uses city services while they're here, regardless of whether they live within the city limits. So if it's true and we did vote down a sales tax, I would like to know why. Because I think it's a great idea, and I think it would help us. So that's all I have to say tonight.
Thank you, Victoria. Any questions for Victoria and Council? I'm sure that the Council will have some comments at the first go-around, Victoria. We can clarify what you...
thought I heard.
Yeah, so
okay.
we'll clarify that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so Julie Smith is going to be taking the seat next to Mike Farrell. So, Mike, welcome back to City Hall.
Yes, Mike Farrell, P.O. Box 61004, Fairbanks 99706. Mayor, congratulations on your reelection and welcome to Councilman Gibson. Mayor, I appreciate you talking to me in the hall about getting my email that I sent last week. I hope when you get the chance, you open it and take a look. Because I was here, I was listening to what you were saying about the revenue shortfall, and I think that, especially listening to the police and the trouble they're having, that it probably will take a couple different things to make that right. And just like the previous speaker talked about the sales tax, I don't know if that's the right one. I do know it's a consumption tax that would fit everyone, charge everyone for using the city. But as you know, I've been coming in here for years now talking about the bed tax. And I do know that you did try to make a change to it, but I think you should look at it again. I don't think you should do what you were trying to do to change the percentage. I don't think that should be changed. 8% is just fine. I think, and this is what the email says, is that you should find a way to fund the CSP before the funds are distributed. Now, maybe that's not possible, but if this council wants to talk about revenue, you're going to have to crack that formula open and take a good look at it. In the past, I've talked about people that make twice as much as you do with that money in a nonprofit setting, and that's outrageous. So if that was a $80,000 a year nonprofit job, we would have $100,000 per year saved on that if we could do something about it. This council doesn't want to do anything about it. So I just wanted to get that out to the people perhaps who are listening on the radio, hearing about this need for revenue and property tax and sales tax, is that there is funds coming in that are not being spent well or that need to be looked at again. And I think the email is focusing on the CSP because I think everyone agrees that that's a service we like. The tourism industry wants it. They want that downtown cleaned up, the Riverwalk in the summer. The cops like it because it frees them up to do other things than to go down there and clean up the Riverwalk. They don't want to do it. And we keep hearing about how they need, you know, anonymous donations or funding or the downtown businesses, which are going out of business, to cut them a check. It's not going to happen. Okay, so I would really encourage you to go back to the drawing board on that. Don't change the percentages. That was not right. I didn't agree with that. But you could use that money for different purposes and have the city run better. That's it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Any questions for Mr. Farrell, Council? Thank you, Mike, for coming up. So, Julie, we'll move the microphone over to you, and David, you'll be next after Julie, David Vandenberg. So, Julie, welcome back to City Hall. Thank you.
Yay. Hello. My name is Julie Smith. I am here because I see that you are appointing two new members to the Diversity Council, which thank you for filling those seats. However, I am sad to have heard some of the people on the council talk about whether or not we should have pastors, preachers, other religious leaders. However, I noticed that none of them talked about having religious leaders of non-Christian religions. There's nobody talking about having the Muslims represented, the Jewish represented, the pagans represented, which there's about 1,000 here in the Fairbanks area. There's nobody talking about the atheists, which is exactly the opposite of the religious. And I am frustrated because I feel like this is being brought up because people believe that the opposite of the LGBTQ plus community is the religious community, but that is not true. Many people in the LGBTQ community are religious. Many of the religious churches, many of the Christian churches are supportive of the LGBTQ community. So please stop trying to put religion into places where it does not belong and focus on the communities that are not being filled on the Diversity Council after the two new additions, which includes the Hispanic communities, the Asian communities, the elders, and the youth. And there's several more. So please, please stop trying to bring religion into our small government here. It does not belong here.
Thank you, Ms.
Also,
Smith.
Christians are not a minority. At the very beginning of this meeting today, you stood up and you pledged allegiance to the flag, at which point most of you had said, under God. Therefore, you are already recognizing the Christian God here in your small government.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Any questions, counsel? Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. So, David, we'll bring the microphone over to you. If anyone else wants to add a public comment, feel free to come up and take the chair next to David Vandenberg. David, welcome back to City Hall.
Thank you. David Vandenberg. I reside at 332 Slater Drive, and I'm here tonight as the executive director of the Downtown Association, which is at 542 4th Avenue, Suite 204. Wanted to come and say again, much like what I said last week. Just in reverse order, just can report that our $110,000 that we will aggregate from the private sector and give to the city of Fairbanks to pay for the community service patrol, that $110,000, it looks like it's going to come in again. That seems to be a familiar routine for many. We have a lot of returning donors, and the mayor's letter of late August did help in bringing in some new money, which we'll try to get them to give again in successive years. And I also observed last week that there's no other part of government, at city government, where the city allows to be paid by a special levy of a coalition of the willing, contribution for city services. So we play a unique role, a unique funding package, where we're able to aggregate private sector donations and we give it to the city. And I offered that, you know, that is an anomaly, certainly, but it could also be a blueprint as you look for ways to fill budget gaps. Perhaps there could be, we could pass the hat using us for snow plowing or for other services the city provides, police or fire. There are people who live in the borough who've told me that they would pay into something like that. So that's just something to bear in mind if any other sales tax or whatnot were too complicated. So also I said last week, and I thought I'd say it again, that years ago, after statehood and before oil, the following tax rates, I am told, obtained in the sample year of 1970. That the property tax was 26.1 mils in Fairbanks. There was a 5% sales tax, a $10 head tax for schools, a state income tax that was equal to 9% of the federal return, and I think at that time the service area assessments were used much more commonly to build sidewalks or extend sewer. So I think generally the tax burden on the individual was considerably higher when we were really paying when we were paying our way at a different level. So I just wanted to offer that up. And I think that concludes my comments for tonight. I do have more information if you've got questions about the returns on the CSP. I have some of those if you want it.
Thank you, David. Any questions, Council? Thank you, David. We appreciate it. Anybody else for citizens' comments? All right. Seeing none, citizens' comments are now closed. Thank you so much. Clerk?
We are at approval of the agenda and consent agenda. Approval of the consent agenda passes all routine items indicated by an asterisk. Consent agenda items are not considered separately unless a council member so requests. In the event of such a request, the item is returned to the general agenda.
I have a motion to approve the agenda, council.
So moved.
By Mr. Gibson, second by Ms. Therrien. Thank you. Anybody wishing to pull in the items, council?
I'd like to Ms. Kuhn. Pull 14A and 14B.
Okay. Anybody else wishing to pull in the items, council? Any objection to the agenda as amended? All right. Thank you very much, clerk.
Okay. The consent agenda accepted the Permanent Fund Review Board meeting minutes of July 24th, 2019. That is it. We are returning to the general agenda. Nothing under item 7 or 8. We are at item 9, Mayor's comments and report.
I'll keep it brief. Victoria, what was not brought forward from the council was the bed tax. That's what I actually had brought forward. Certainly people, any council member can bring forth any kind of tax or revenue that they want, and it either gets support by the council or it doesn't, and then sales tax would eventually go to a vote of the people. But that's what you were referring to. And then a couple of years ago, I also brought forth an idea for a property tax. It did make it on the ballot, but it was not approved by the voters. I'm always game for more revenue ideas, more revenue streams. I did get that email from Mr. Farrell. I've already made an obligation to the Native community, the Native leadership, and everything else that we're going to keep CSP. We do get a pretty good chunk from the businesses downtown. I'm really, really pleased with that. I think Juneau's going to dry us up. Normally, we got money from them for that. It's only pretty much the only ask we've made, but we know it's going away. But it's a valuable resource that we need in this city. So that's just a completely different thing. So I wanted to specify that for you, Victoria. I want to thank the police department last week for doing Operation Glow. It was a lot of fun. There was pretty slick roads in the neighborhoods I visited, but no one really had any accidents. The kids had a lot of fun. There was a lot of candy. Having Halloween off was kind of different for me, for the schools. That was probably why we didn't get a huge amount of kids in City Hall this year for our little haunted house. We normally got a couple of hundred. We didn't get quite as many this year. I think that had to do with school. I'm not positive on that. I'm going to go ahead and say Happy Thanksgiving now because we're going to have a break after this meeting for a couple of weeks. This is the time of year where we stack some of our meetings and we take a break and then we get into the Christmas season. I'm looking forward to our budget meetings again tomorrow morning. The council will be here. It's open to the public. If you'd like to join us for our budget meetings, you're more than welcome to do that. It's at 7 o'clock. And that's all I have for tonight. Thank you very much for coming down and welcome to some Boy Scouts that we have here tonight. It's good to have you here. Good way to learn about government. Good way to see how we operate. And we love it when Boy Scouts or the troops or Girl Scouts visits City Hall. So thank you so much for doing that. All right, clerk.
We're at the first round of council member comments.
First round of council member comments. We'll start with Mr. Gibson tonight. This is, we usually save this, Mr. Gibson, for anything we heard prior during citizens' comments. So we'll begin with you.
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Victoria, the mayor already touched on the bed tax increases. An interesting little tidbit of information is I believe that there's a sales tax been proposed about 10 times, and every time it's been voted down. And the biggest thing I think that we contend with is there's a tax cap, and so a sales tax would simply just reduce revenues and some other portion of the cap at this point. So, Mr. Farrell, Mike, I appreciate you coming down. I appreciate your comments, and it's definitely something to take in consideration. And David, I appreciate the effort and time you put in bringing that money to help support the Community Service Patrol. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. First to address Victoria on your comments here. I keep a track on how many times we vote on sales tax. Between the borough and the city, it's been 10 times exactly. The main reason I ran for council back in 2000,
millennia ago.
Yeah, 19, whatever it was because of a sales tax. And that was the answer to everything, is just raise taxes and more money, and we solve our problems here at the city. The voters didn't think that way, though. And I agree with them on that. Being a retailer, the sales tax is extremely problematic. I'm going to cover some of that with you. The regressivity of it makes it very unpopular with some people. It preys on the poor more than it does the rich, and that's been well documented in all the studies that I have seen. It's surprising how few research projects have been done on sales tax as opposed to other taxes or in conjunction with them. I think it was the University of North Texas that did the best study, and one of our former clerks brought that back from a convention years ago, and it's still the best real study I've seen as to the impact of sales taxes on communities. On businesses like mine, where you are constantly being compared to online, a sales tax puts me at a competitive disadvantage right off the bat. Some of the retailers outside with new federal laws are trying to make it force them to collect local and state sales taxes. But there's a threshold for doing that, and eBay doesn't do it. We are constantly being compared to that. Brick-and-mortar stores are really under attack nationwide, and we're seeing I was just at South Center here a few days ago, and the empty spaces there is the first time I've seen that many. Sears is dying. it'll go away. Pennies doesn't look like it's too far behind that. And it's a shame because those big department stores are something I grew up with and you did too and many of us did, but they're a thing of the past. It's just becoming more and more problematic to invest in a community and to be shopped online. And I see it, you know, with my own friends. They buy their clothes that way and everything else. I just go online. That is problematic. If I do not have an exemption in my own business, I will lose a significant portion because it is so cost sensitive. You can sell a $1,500 ounce of gold, but if somebody can sell it for $5 cheaper than you, you lose the sale. And you do lose that. Two, military bases are exempt. So the base exchange would not have to collect a sales tax. And that puts them at an advantage to all of us here in Fairbanks. It's one more reason for our military friends not to shop off base, because they can get a better deal. Anchorage does not have a sales tax. When we used to have it, the big purchases, I remember families, you would go down to Anchorage to buy appliances and things like that. It's just a part of the trip. I remember doing it. We all did it. I would hate to be at a disadvantage to Anchorage on that. The cost of collecting the sales tax is the most expensive tax we can do at the city. We have studied that numerous times. It would add in our finance department approximately 4 to 5 people, all invested in auditing, because the auditing becomes an extremely important function of it to make sure it's being collected and that people are doing it right. Trying to figure out the exemptions is a nightmare, which ones we would allow, which ones we do not allow. Most municipalities differ on which exemptions they do have. Sales taxes always go up. They never go down. North Pole's a classic example. When Mayor Carlita Lewis was there and she introduced the 2%, I told her, I said, "No, Carlita, that's not going to last. Your 2% will grow." She says, "No, it's inflation-proof, because as the price of goods go up, that percentage goes up. We'll never need to increase it." Since those days, it's doubled, and there's property tax is still there. I could go on and produce the studies, but it is something that this individual has fought for many years, and which puts me at odds with Deb, because I've heard her testify in favor of it, I think, in the past, and many others in the community. But it is a very regressive step to take, and that's why I think there's other options that are better. We do have sales taxes. We have 5 different ones, but they're specified at this point. And Dave, in his presentation, was right. The highest property taxes we ever had were in years we had sales taxes at the same time. And the state income tax rate at the time was actually, Dave, 16% of the federal rate. It wasn't 8 or 9 or whatever it was. I remember doing those tax returns back then. So I don't know. That's just a quick summation of a lot of studying that I have seen. I could get into more information if you're interested in it. I think there's other vehicles to grow our revenue. My big concern at the city right now is that we leave money on the table under the tax cap, which is foolish of us to do. And there are methods that we can make that up, and we'll be looking at some of those, and I have my own ideas on that. See, Julie left, so I won't say anything on that. So that's it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Clayworth. Glad to have you back. Mr. Pruz.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I want to address Mr. Turney's comments. Gambling. There has a statute that has been introduced into the legislature this year, and I will get that statute, and I'll get it for you down here at the clerk's office so you can review it. It's a statewide gambling. You hit it right on the head with Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. From 2008 to 2015, they had a different investment scenario and criteria, and they did very well. Their revenues went up 300%. In the last 2 years, they've been under audit. Their real estate division there did their own sales and purchasing, and a couple state senators got mad and audited them, and they said that the Dividend Permanent Fund Corporation should be doing all sales. So this came out of that finally. And I will find out what their investment criteria, spending criteria is in Fairbanks for the mentally ill, people who need mental help. It's part of the overall complicated formula to help the downtown. If we can get more help for them, we can get more people off the street and clean up Fairbanks better. Mr. Turner, you hit it right on the head. It's a very important concept of it. Julie Smith is not here, but one day I hope she looks behind me. She will see the Hindu faith principles. She will see the four noble truths of the enlightened path. This body knows no religion over any other or no aspect over another. My feeling is if you have a deity that you believe is good, that's good for you. Simple as that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perez. Ms. Therrien.
Yes, a lot of our council members have already said what I would have been saying. I do think that we do need to look at new revenue measures, but when we do that, we need to make sure that they're exempt from the tax cap. If not, it's not worth it.
Thank you, Ms. Therrien. Ms. Rogers?
Well, I'll go ahead and follow with that also, as, since it was just mentioned. Jerry, I wanted to thank you for the reminding us of the ideas that you have for possible revenue ideas with the tax cap and the money that gets left on the table, so to speak. I think that that's a real positive direction for us to go, and I would welcome your guidance on that and for you to bring that up again. Thank you. And the idea of the sales tax, on the surface of it, it all seems great until we start talking about what you're mentioning there about auditing and all of the expense of collecting. And I can remember back in the day when sales tax, many people collected it and pocketed it, and the city never saw a dime of it. And some of those are still outstanding. And so it's a perilous path. It really is. And it's an arduous one. I am thankful that we do have some other options that we could consider, but we do need to, as Valerie mentioned, we need to be pursuing some sort of revenue input that's not here at this point. Mr. Turney, I jotted down that he was concerned about mental health training, and particularly so for some of our department people here who, as you stated, only receive 8 hours of training. The work of our housing and homeless coordinator, Michael Sanders, has been bringing people from Alaska Mental Health Trust here to Fairbanks at several of the meetings that we've had the last week or so. And the help that is available to us through that institution and the changes that are being investigated in how we respond to mental health are really, really, right now I'm so encouraged because I've been discouraged by some of our full across the board methods of how these things are dealt with. The silos of organizations that weren't connected. We are very, very well coordinated into good coalitions that are responsive to programs in a way that's never before. And now we're going even further into that kind of coalition building. There's some new programs called Crisis Now that we just heard about in the last couple of days that Alaska Mental Health will be sending people to other meetings here in Fairbanks, and I look forward to hearing their understanding of how we can go forward with this. And David, I have such good regard for you, so please don't.
I'm not going to come up to work, so I just want to see what their budget is.
Well, no, this is something that, you know, when I hear people, as we've talked about before, where I say people aren't talking about people, I really have to speak against the us and them. Mm-hmm. There's no us and them when it comes to mental health. I'm sorry, but every single person in this room, in this community, has some issue that they have in their past or in their life or in their family or in their friends or in their coworkers' realm that needs to have an understanding of good mental health and resources that can help us with that. And so I have to speak against any time I hear us and them and clean up downtown. I think that it's a much larger problem than that, mm-hmm. and it's a problem that requires us to have a more humanitarian view of the difficulties, that it's all of us in this together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. And Ms. Kuhn.
I just want to take a moment and acknowledge Victoria's comments. I'm really sorry. I met with Deputy Chief Wellborn. It left me last week. We talked a little bit about that area. It was my understanding that there was a little bit more police presence in the past week, so I am saddened to hear that there was sort of another critical moment, a critical incident, as one might say. I'm sad to say that. And as far as revenue frustrations, I'm glad you got to hear kind of a lesson of Fairbanks, and that is coming from another state 2+ decades ago. I have struggled, but what I can tell you, Victoria, is that since I got to the state, which was in Soldotna in 98, taxes that are sales taxes seem to be popular everywhere but here. So I won't put, you know, I can't tell you to have faith in us creating a sales tax, but I know with Jerry's wisdom, he'll leave us with some revenue building considerations. So, but thank you for coming back. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Clerk.
We are at unfinished business. Only one item there. That's ordinance number 6116. An ordinance to place before city voters the question of amending the Fairbanks Charter by repealing Section 11.8, Elections Runoff, introduced by Councilmember Kuhn. This is second reading and public hearing.
A motion to adopt, Council.
Motion to adopt.
By Ms. Kuhn. A second to adopt. Ms. Therian. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody wishing to come and address ordinance number 6116? Now is the opportunity. All right. Hearing none, citizens' comments are closed. Thank you. Council discussion. Mr. Cleworth, I see your pencil, and then we'll go to Ms. Rogers.
I was going to request that we hear from.
Oh, right. We'll hear from Ms. Kuhn, too. I'm sorry. I just asked for.
Actually, I defer to the sponsor if she wants to address it first, and then we can.
Ms. Kuhn?
Short and simple. I have been looking at voter turnouts. I have been considering that this is a financial hardship. And although Mr. Councilmember Gibson did speak a little bit alluding towards the concept of ranked choice voting with another title, that at this time I am seeking support from the council to present this to the voters, and that would just merely appeal the runoff section from the charter, which runoffs, I believe, we had talked about were 3 in the last 20 years, and they kind of come at a cost of $40,000. And I anticipate as time grows, so will that amount. And that is part of why I'm bringing this forward.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. So now we'll start with Mr. Cleworth, because you had your hand up.
First, a question for the city clerk. A best estimate of a runoff, I know you said somewhere between 20 and 30 or something like that, but do you have a more definitive number? A conservative number?
40,000 is what I would have asked the budget amendment to be this year if there would have been a runoff.
40,000?
Mm-hmm.
You think that's close?
I talked with it about it with the borough clerk, and she said that sounds about right based on what she projected for last year's possible borough runoff, which also didn't happen.
I support the ordinance. I've always wondered if we should do this myself, but we, fortunately, it comes up so seldom it was never on the front burner at the time. But as our costs grow on the possibility, and I've always wondered why it's different for council members than the mayor. The only problem I had in the past was for a long period of time there, if you had people filing for the mayor's office or for a council seat, after the deadline for filing, they only had, for a long time, it was only like 2 days to take their name off or 3 days or something, and it's been expanded. Is that correct? Do you remember that?
It hasn't changed in a decade, at least. It's been a week.
I think you got a week now, but my memory is before that it was much more rigid. It was like 1 day or 2 day. And so you didn't have the opportunity to say, oh my gosh, there's 10 of us running for this seat, which is about 8 too many, whatever. But I mean, you could look to find out in that 5 day period of time whether you have similar views of other people, and you could withdraw your name from that. We have plenty of time to do that now, so if you've got two people that are sharing the same political aspirations and they're worried about splitting the vote, one can fall out if they desire to. I would add one item here, and this is, my guess is that our city attorney drafted this for you. Would that be correct?
Mostly. I came up with a whereas or two.
I'd like to embellish your information just a little bit if I can get around our city attorney. Where it says approval of Proposition A, this is under the information portion. Approval of Proposition A would amend the city charter by repealing Section 11.8, comma, eliminating the runoff election requirement in mayoral elections, period. I'd just like to simply add, the current estimated cost of a special runoff election is $40,000, period.
Is that a...
That's an amendment.
Amendment you're making? Do I have a second, Council?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Therrien. So it's been moved and seconded to add that sentence. Did you get that, Clerk?
I think so.
Okay. So should we discuss that, or should we take a vote on the 40? Or do you want to elaborate a little more?
Yeah, I think it's very important to tell the people one reason why we're doing this. And Councilmember Kuhn said, you know, it's cost. And, well, what is that cost? Let's show them what that cost is. I think it's irrelevant information. We cannot take sides on these things. It's up to the voters, but it is our responsibility to give them information, and I think that that's relevant information. This is what happens. This is how much it costs if you have a special runoff. So my question is for the city attorney. Does that pass muster?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So let's take a vote on the amendment, and let's see where we go. Then we'll discuss the rest of it. So, Clerk?
We ready for the vote on the amendment?
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Prus?
Yes.
All right. Now back to the main motion. Jerry, you were still speaking.
No, that was my only.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make that one amendment.
Good amendment, I think. Anybody else? Council? Mr. Prus?
Yeah, I look at this not from the fiscal standpoint that Jerry does. I looked at this from the electoral process, and I won't be voting for this because, as I showed you last meeting in Discovery, one-third of the times that we have a runoff election, the person who came in second wins. And it doesn't matter if it's $40,000, $20,000. I'm not going to vote to take away that person's potential victory. Just not going to do it. Also, this will take us out of step with the borough on their electoral process. And we're similar. I just don't want to do that. So those are the reasons why I'm voting against it. Simple as that.
Thank you, Mr. Prus. Mr. Gibson.
I, too, cannot support or won't be supporting this ordinance either. I believe that the voters have an opportunity to select the mayor, and giving the opportunity just for 30% of the voters to select the mayor doesn't seem like that's right to me. So that's why I believe the runoff election is important. And, you know, it could be $50,000 and I would still be convinced that the voters have the opportunity to make that choice.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Mr. Clearworth?
Yeah, Councilmember Pruse brought up something interesting to me. You said that one-third of the time the person that came in second has won. I can't think of one case. Can you give me one case?
The city clerk emailed them to us. You didn't read your email?
I could give you one.
Yeah.
Jerry Norm beat Valerie Therrien in a runoff.
Yeah.
But that was
sitting across the way from you.
That was not for mayor, but it was in a runoff. I lost by 12 votes. I had gotten 39.6% of the vote, and Jerry beat me in the runoff.
But how many people were running originally?
I think it was just the two of us.
Yeah, it was just a two-way. Yeah. It would change the numbers, obviously, with the more people.
Well, I'm sorry. That can't be correct, there was only two wrong. In the original
There
race.
Was three or four in, in the general.
In the general, okay. It was more
Jerry came in second, you came in first, and Jerry beat you in the runoff by about 8 votes.
Is this back in the early 1980s?
Yeah, the 1980s, when I was a youngster.
I mean, I cannot remember since then. We've had runoffs before. I think that Ruth Burnett and Bill Wally were in a runoff. And then more recently at the borough, it was Luke Hopkins and Tammy had a runoff. But it's always been the same deal. Whoever won in the primary always seems to win in that runoff. Very rarely have I seen a change. That's why I was curious by what you...
I just looked at it one-third of the time that there's been a runoff election, be it for city council or mayor. It's just, facts are facts. And I cannot...
I still challenge that. I don't know. I mean, it would never have happened in a mayor race where that number would have changed. Because we've only had, I think, two runoff elections that I can remember. Is that correct?
Since the 40% provision, only one. But there were runoffs for the mayoral races before that when we had a 50%.
Yes.
For every seat.
Yeah. For every seat, yeah. Which is, I'm glad we got rid of that. But.
Yeah, because we were having runoff elections every single year during that time.
Should we call for the vote? Council ready?
Yep.
All right. Clerk.
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 6116, Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
No.
Mr. Pruse?
No.
Mr. Gibson?
No.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Clearworth?
Yes.
Mayor doesn't need to vote because this required unanimous to get it on the ballot, so there's no need for the mayor to vote. It fails.
All right. Thank you very much, Council. I appreciate it. All right. Clerk.
Moving on with the agenda. Item B under unfinished business is the approval of the 2020 City Council meeting schedule, and the Council postponed this from the last meeting so that all members could weigh in.
Yeah, Jerry, we were going to give you a shot at this, too. Ms. Therrien had mentioned a couple of meetings in the spring. So, Valerie, would you please mention that again so Jerry can
see
it? Sure.
I would like to change the 23rd of March to the 30th and June 8th to the 15th. And I would move June 22nd, but that would be hitting Memorial Day. So I know they'd be two in a row.
So you want to move March 23rd to March 30th and June 8th to June 15th?
Yeah.
Okay. Council, how do you feel about those two changes?
Does that put us to back-to-back meetings in June then?
Yeah,
this happens once in a while. We had back-to-back this time, and then we get a break after that.
And I'm sorry, we can't move to the 29th, because June 29th.
I think it's Memorial Day.
It would be pre-4th of July.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of May.
If we could do that.
If we could do the 15th and the 29th.
That'd be great.
So are you suggesting we move 6-8 to June 15th or June 29th? I just didn't understand what you just said.
Change it so it would be June 15th and June 29th.
Okay.
So June has, the month of June, not Ms. Rogers, has 5 Mondays in it. So instead of the 2nd and the 4th, we'd have the 3rd and the 5th.
Yeah.
Council, okay with these
these two date changes. Yeah. Jerry?
I have no idea what I'm doing in June, so I'm
fine. I have to plan my calendar out a year in advance. That's why.
What golf entities will you be?
I'm not. I'm doing meetings.
Yeah, let's make a motion to that. Good idea, okay. Clerk. Make a motion, Valerie, please.
I'd move that we change March 23rd to March 30th. And June 8th to June 15th, and June 22nd to June 29th.
So we have three changes. Sorry, Ms. Kuhn seconded that. All right, so you have those three dates. You want to take a roll call on that, Clerk?
Sure.
Okay.
This is just on the amendment to the calendar. Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Easy. Thank you very much, Ms. Therrien.
And on the motion to approve the...
Oh, yeah, let's go to the motion to approve.
It was carried over from the last meeting.
You're right. Thank you, Clerk.
On the motion to approve the calendar as amended, Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Perfect. And if anybody else on the council ever has a conflict, you could always bring it to our attention, but it's good to solidify the whole year. So thank you, Ms. Therrien, for that, and thank you for the cooperation of the council. Clerk.
Okay, there is no new business this evening, so we are moving down to discussion items, committee reports.
Committee committees met the last week. Yes, Ms. Therrien.
The Permanent Fund Review Board met, and we have $135,752,157 in our account as of 10/29/19. There is a conflict between the language in the ordinance with regard to whether or not we have a higher priority to maximize income or inflation-proof the permanent fund. So people that handle our account felt that if the inflation is at 2%, which it isn't right now, we can't really inflation proof because we're taking out 4.5% higher. So I wanted us to think about that. There's been a lot of changes to the ordinance or to the code dealing with the permanent fund. I need to know what you think is a higher priority. We will be meeting in January 27th at 5:30 to bring the annual report to the council, but we need to have a direction. Right now, I don't think interest is going to go to 2%, but right now, we would have to increase the risk to our investments to reach the inflation rate at 2%. So right now, they feel we're okay, but we can't meet both goals.
Jerry. Mr. Cleworth, sorry.
Valerie, I
hope I explained that as well.
I guess I'm a little confused because I don't recall anything in our code that requires us to inflation-proof that fund.
Well, let me read you the language if I can find it. It's 2.260A, and it's in our presentation here.
I'll use this opportunity to remind the council that 2 years ago I introduced an ordinance, and it failed miserably, and it was inflation-proofing this. And it was a 1-5 vote, and I was proud of my one vote.
I'll read what 2.260A says. The purpose of the permanent fund is to maximize income for capital and operating expenses of the city and preserve and trust assets of the city for present and future generations of city residents. The principal goal shall be preserve principal and maintain purchasing power. So there's an inherent conflict in there.
But it doesn't mention the word inflation.
No, but to preserve the principal needs means you have to inflation-proof the permanent fund.
Okay. Well, I guess I would disagree with that because when we set it up, we knew we could never inflation-proof that fund.
Okay.
And when it was first set up, we could only take out what we earned. Mm-hmm. A little short-sighted on our part, because it never dawned on us we might have a year we didn't earn anything. And then the city council would be in a pickle, because we wouldn't get that automatic 4.5% that we take out each year. Mm-hmm. We see your hand, Mr. Pruse.
I was looking at the mayor.
You just wanted to get my attention.
Okay. And but we knew we had to get what we were getting before we sold the utilities, which was $3.6 million, and because that was a major part of our operating budget each year. And that took priority over inflation proofing. We hoped we would earn more than that 4.5% that came along later. And we are currently earning, the average is 5.5%, if I remember right. And yeah. So, we're slowly adding money to it. If we were to sell more property, we'd add more. But I guess if you're taking feedback to them, I have no we're not going to inflation-proof that fund.
Okay.
I mean, you can take a more liberal stance on investments and try to earn more or something, but that's a decision for the council, and we've changed that over the years.
Right now we're at 60% equity and 40% bonds. We're at the very beginning, it was almost 100% bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And our benchmark return is 5.25%.
Not bad.
And we've done that over the years. So.
Annualized. Well, that's good to know that history, but they brought it to our attention, so...
They've always wanted us to inflation proof. I mean, that's, I get it. I understand that, but we knew we could never do it.
Okay. Mr. Pruse.
Yes, Ms. Therrien, thank you for addressing that concern. First and foremost, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And a thought, just a thought, is maybe Mr. Cleworth, since he hates doing them, maybe he could write a resolution explaining what he just said. That way we have it in writing, formally recognized, with the dilemma that the investment committee there has faced, and we have addressed it correctly for them. Just a thought, Mr. Clark.
That would be helpful. I think that would be very helpful to bring back to the committee, or to have it discussed in January and then bring the resolution forward. But if the history of it was to never inflation-proof it, then I think that we can say the city council acted and gave them instruction.
We could do that.
There's also, just for the public, that there is one position that might be open on the board coming into effect at the end of the year. People are interested in being on that committee.
Thank you very much, Ms. Therrien. Any other committees met since last Monday, Council?
I should just mention that this past week I've attended the opioid meeting on the 30th and the Housing and Homeless and Arctic Alliance on the 31st, and then also spent day of workshop with Terry Tibbett from the Alaska Mental Health Trust, who came and gave some workshops at a couple of locations in town. One of them was at the bridge, and it was my first opportunity to spend that much time at the bridge, and it was a very, very cool, insightful day with a lot of good messaging.
Thank you very much, Ms.
And tomorrow and the next day there's going to be a two-day conference over at the Westmark with Housing and Homeless and VISTA and a variety of other programs.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Appreciate that. Okay, thank you. Clerk.
All righty, then. We are at pooled item 14A, the appointments to the Fairbanks Diversity Council.
I'll start with Ms. Kuhn on that, and then we'll have to accept it. We have the two that are... let's have a motion to approve 14A, Council.
So moved.
By Mr. Pruse, second by Mr. Gibson. It was pulled by Ms. Kuhn. Ms. Kuhn?
Yes, I want to talk briefly about looking at the composition of what diversity means, and I was looking in the code. As a Hispanic person, I don't see someone representing me. And I don't know if you know this, Mayor, but your population of Hispanic people in the city of Fairbanks is actually higher
than some of your other minority groups. And so I also look at the large groups that we have of Asian populations anywhere between India, Nepal, Tibet, represented here to the Philippines, to Thai, to Vietnamese, to Korean, definitely. And I go, where are these people? So what I looked at in these appointments, besides the six people that reached out and that weren't interviewed, I look at the lack of diversity at this point. I'm concerned. I'm a little bit concerned. I don't know. I knew of one individual that represented the Mexican community, the Hispanic community. I know they left, and I was hoping to see that position start back up. Latinos Unidos, as you may or may not know, we're working on revitalizing that effort as well. But I think the Hispanic community has fallen silent, and I want to see them help to get back up. So I wanted to ask you, Mayor, to be considerate of what the word diversity means when looking at the census information, which I can email. I didn't email it to the council, but I could email it to the city clerk. And I believe that is where we should be looking at what diversity is as well, is what does our census numbers mean? And so I hope that you consider that. I know that there's one individual on here. I'm very excited, and I know there's been a need to be filled there for a while. So I'm excited for that individual. But I just wanted to and this is where we had some public comment tonight, and I understand why. I do. But I want to speak on behalf of just what diversity ought to mean in terms of what the city of Fairbanks looks like and what your diversity council isn't looking like. So that's what I've got to say.
Okay. And I appreciate that, Ms. Kuhn. I understand the diversity in the community, and Ms. Rogers has been on that committee for a very long time. We've had several different groups that have been represented, but some have left. And I don't always have the same pick, if you will, of the same diverse group. Even if we had 30 members on this diversity council, we wouldn't touch on every single group that is represented in our city. It just doesn't happen. And, of course, the council won't allow us to put on their application what their nationality might be. So a lot of times you don't know until you bring them in for a meeting, and that's just the way it works. So I would encourage you, Ms. Kuhn, to talk to some members of those committees that you think are lacking, because with all due respect, you don't spend a lot of time at the diversity council meetings, and we're trying very hard to get a diverse group of people. The two I've approached tonight are top-notch people. Bobby Dorton is one. Kadita Williams is the other. And as soon as we have other people that leave that council, I will look at the applications and consider all the names all the time. But we did have to have a full board so we could get some work done. And we've had Hispanic people on there before. We've had Asian people on there before. But it doesn't mean forever. So we're doing the best we can, Ms. Kuhn. That's all I can tell you. I understand what diversity means. I understand all those things perfectly well.
Just a follow-up question. Were you able to meet, or do you tend to meet with every individual that applies?
I try to meet with every member that applies. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That was also in conversation with me, some individuals.
I've said this many times on this body that I have met with everybody, but not every single person. And I give it the best try that I possibly can.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Mr. Cleworth.
A question for Councilmember Kuhn. When you hear the word diversity, are you thinking only ethnicity?
No, I think intersectionally. I absolutely believe that you don't fit in a box. I don't even like boxes, but I have to say, okay, if I didn't know anything, if I had never taken a social work class in my life, what would I be looking at? If I was an economics person, what would I be looking at? And so I don't know what your definition of diversity is, for example. It varies for each one of us. So the main one thing that I can look at is the census numbers and go, okay, so I have 8.6% Alaska Native population.
I have a 6.9% African-American population. I have an 11.9% Hispanic population, a 65.7% Hispanic or white population, and a 3.4% Asian population. That would be the bare bones minimum that I would be looking at on a government body. That would be it. Other things you might be looking to explain diversity and intersectionality, I might be looking for social work people. I might be looking for teachers. I might be looking for a variety of different individuals, different business owners. How will they contribute? How have they contributed to Fairbanks? You know, but I think it starts with understanding what we mean by diversity. And that's where the code is a little bit, it doesn't explain what, who necessarily are we looking for in a diversity council. It's discretionary of the mayor, and that will fluctuate by every mayor, of course, because it's their definition of diversity. So I think that there's an issue with how diversity is or isn't defined in code, that it's a bigger problem of recruiting members.
Let me put a challenge out to the council. Ask some people to apply. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do me a favor. Ask some people who you think would be a good addition to the diversity council, whether they're an oil worker or a university student or a musician. I don't really care, because everybody's going to bring their own thing to the party. That's just the way it is. And I will look at every single application. I'll bring it before the council, the diversity council, and let them speak. Or I will just appoint some people if we need some bodies. We now have a full, after tonight, we're going to have a full council. And I appreciate that. Now we can get some work done. But keep in mind, we're going to have people that are in and out of that body. And you're not going to always replace a Hispanic member with a Hispanic member. It's just not going to work that way. We're going to do the best that we can, because it's not all racial. It's not all job. It's just, it's like a Rotary Club. You do the best you can to get the widest swath that you can. That's all I can say. I don't want to pick it apart to death. That's what I'm trying to do. Ms. Therrien had her hand up.
I would just hope, as mayor, that you would interview everyone that applies, since you don't know.
Yep.
From the application, their qualifications, not everybody writes a very good resume.
Correct.
And I would just urge you to interview everyone before you make your next appointments. I don't think it's going to take that much more time to do it. And I'd appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you, Ms. Therrien. Mr. Pruse.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Diversity, you have 10 people in a room, you're going to get 10 different ideas on what diversity is. But looking at the two applicants that you're putting on the board, I must say their backgrounds and their life experiences are incredibly impressive. Mr. Dorton, he brings experiences that I could never imagine to this. Never imagine. Ms. Williams, I know Ms. Williams. She brings a background that is very good, very good. So there's so many ways for diversity to be achieved, but it's also like chasing a ghost. You're never going to get everything perfectly in place. So the ones you put on here tonight are exceptional in many ways, and very proud of reviewing these applications and where they've been in life and what they've done and what they've achieved and what they will bring to the Diversity Council of the City of Fairbanks. Thank you.
And every member brings forth three or four things, not just one thing. I don't like to make this a color committee. It's not. It's a diverse committee of thought, job, income, life experience, everything. So thank you, Council. Should we vote, please?
On the motion to approve the appointments to the Fairbanks Diversity Council, Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion to approve 14B, a motion to accept 14B.
So moved.
Thank
it
you,
is the
Mr.
reappointment to the Interior Gas Utility Board of Directors.
Sorry, I should have gone back to the clerk. I apologize.
That's
okay. So it's been moved by Ms. Therrien to accept 14B and seconded by Mr. Gibson. Ms. Kuhn, you pulled this one as well.
I just wanted to talk about some concerns I had. In reviewing some of, really, I guess I didn't have the notes to review. And in conversation, it is my understanding that at times this individual can be a little bit gruff to work with. And I just want to voice that if you are not in it to team build, as we all know, can become really difficult to get things moving forward. And one thing I do really want to see move forward is this interior gas. And so I just wanted to voice that there is a concern there that was expressed to me. That's why I pulled it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. We're going to reappoint Gary Wilkin, who is well-versed in this. He wants to see it move forward. He's an excellent candidate. There's been a lot of emotion around that board. He's not the only one that is passionate on that board, as Mr. Beeks will attest to. All right, let's go ahead and vote on this. Ms. Rogers.
Just in light of the comment that was just made, I feel really compelled to speak forward. My personal experience with Mr. Wilkin goes back a good 50 years. I have never, ever encountered a difficulty in working with a person of his capacity in any of the committees or the programs or business. He's always been quite exemplary in his exchange with me. I've never encountered that, and it's difficult for me to hear that kind of information based on someone said something. I'm sorry, but yes, when people bring us something, and I know you're passing it on in that way, but personal experience does not reinforce what I just heard.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Let's vote on this, Council, please. Thank you. Clerk?
On the motion to approve the reappointment to the Interior Gas Utility, Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Kuhn?
No.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes. Sorry.
Thank you, Council.
Jumped the gun.
Thank you, Council. I appreciate that. Clerk?
All righty. We are at the second round of Council member comments.
All right. Final comments tonight, Ms. Kuhn?
I want to give a land acknowledgement that we are on the unceded lands of the Chena Lower Tanana Dene. I also want to wish everyone that celebrates a happy Diwali that started about a week ago. I briefly want to talk about an issue that also was brought to me in regards to individuals out here in the streets coming out of a couple alcohol establishments and ending up with fractured skulls. So I don't know what's going on out there. I've encouraged individuals to make those police reports, but overall, if there is somebody that is needing to feel safe, there are places and the police will take care of you. And I know that sounds really scary, but I do want to kind of mention that I hear you. And also I want to make sure that if you're hurting tonight, we're going into the holidays, that you do remember the hotline, Caroline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. So there's always someone in this community caring, and there's a lot of activities happening. And I want to thank Explore Fairbanks and FEDC for coming forward and everyone that gave public comments. Thanks. Have a safe holiday.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Ms. Rogers.
That was my thought also, is I wanted to say thank you to both of the organizations that brought information to us in our work sessions tonight. Both are exemplary groups of really fine work on behalf of the community. And in the circumstances that we're encountering, I know, Mayor, you've mentioned many times that there's some rough waters ahead here financially. To have relationships so well developed with organizations that are so efficiently and respectably operated is a real value to this community. And I appreciate the reports that are brought to us each year, and it's particularly so the ones that we heard tonight. It's wonderful that we can go forward in a way that is an example for other communities. Over and over and over in my travels, I hear things about Fairbanks and how Fairbanks gets it right. Fairbanks works together. Fairbanks has organizations of such regard throughout the entire state, and the two that we heard from this evening bring many of those kudos to our community. So I'd like to thank them.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Ms. Therrien.
Yes, I'd like to wish all the veterans out there a happy Veterans Day on November 11th, next Monday. I have my own veteran at home. Yes. I'd also like to mention that I attended the annual banquet of the NAACP on Saturday, and it was a wonderful meeting, and the collaboration that that organization is now doing with other community organizations bodes really well for them. I remember sitting on the borough assembly and looking at the Fedco budget, and there were so many complaints. And looking where they are today, it's like milestones. And I just really pleased to see how much work they're doing in the community and how much networking they're doing. And Explore Fairbanks is doing a good job as well.
Thank you, Ms. Therrien. Mr. Gibson.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cleaworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question first. When we were talking about the committees and the Public Safety Commission and perhaps eliminating that and coming up with another committee on public nuisance or something like that, I know the staff was meeting on that. Have we made any headway on that at all?
We haven't made any final decisions yet. They were going to do another meeting of the Public Safety Commission, I think. But it was discussed last week when you were out a little bit, but there's no definitive answer right now.
Okay. I mean, have the staff got together, legal and everybody, and to brainstorm on what we could possibly do through code?
Not at this point. I want to get budget out of the way. That's my priority right now, Mr. Cleaworth.
Okay. That's an important one to me.
Mr. Meeks is over there. He's got his hand up.
Well, I'm just trying to find out what you want expecting of us, because I'm in the impression we were waiting for the council. I'm looking at the clerk. What was that your same impression?
I think I remember them wanting to hear back from the commission again, but I also remember putting this off until after budget was over. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that could be right. I don't remember that part. I thought that we were doing some preliminary work at looking at our code and seeing what, if any, tools we could have at our disposal for making dealing with public nuisance properties easier.
Well, that we have started working on, and we've asked a citizen if they would want to sit on, and they've said yes. All we've done right now is Paul has got a draft ordinance that we're going to sit down and have a meeting on, and I put together a flow chart, but we're not doing it in between budget things.
Okay. No, it's good to hear that we're doing that. I just don't want to drop the ball on that. I think it's so important that we continue to do that. Councilmember Kuhn, you said that sales taxes are popular everywhere but here. You might talk to the folks in Delaware, New Hampshire, Oregon, and Montana. None of them have a state sales tax. They don't like them either.
Alaska.
So I would say those four states count as people, too. And we just have different views of taxation. So it is not just the state of Alaska. And Alaska has municipal options. I mean, you can pay it in North Pole, but you don't pay it in Fairbanks. So. And then last, you know, I'm this is my last meeting. I'm going to hear from FEDCO or what's our new name now? Explorer Fairbanks. Yeah. I'm never going to get used to that, Deb. But, you know, it was a lot more contentious many years ago. And with the change of the formula, it just made everything a lot easier. When we put the budget together, we just follow the formula that's in our code, and we put it together. And it takes the controversy that we used to have out of it. And I just hope that does not change, that code, those numbers remain fixed and the percentages remain fixed. If they get changed, I know it'll happen. And I hate to see us go back to what we used to have, which is very confrontational. It's a system that works. And, yeah, we might have differences of opinion on direction or something like that, but the general mission, there is no difference of opinion on that. And just thank you for your presentation. I think one of the real successes with Explorer Fairbanks is what's happened with when you court new airlines that come in the Fairbanks, even if it's for a summer period of time. That's a big deal. In Fairbanks, and you know, just servicing, you know, staffing that, adding jobs, using services in the community is great. It's a big part of it, and Explore Fairbanks has done a good part of the work on that. So, thank you. That's it, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cleworth. Mr. Pruz.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Highlighting what Valerie said about our veterans on November 11th, it's the anniversary of at the 11th day of the 11th hour of the 11th month of 1918, the Great War ended. And since that time frame, a lot of armed conflicts, a lot of wonderful people gave the ultimate sacrifice, and on Monday, it's a day to reflect and appreciate what's been given. Mayor, I hope you enjoy some services or some ceremonies in regards to that. And when we leave tonight's building, across the street is a park honoring them, and I hope we all do that. To the citizens of Fairbanks and in the interior here, please drive safely. We have a little bit of ice. And the banging behind me tonight reminded me of being in the library here and not being the best studious person I could have been, so maybe it's telling me that, but I think maybe it's telling everyone it's getting cold outside. Be careful. There's a lot of people out who don't get to come in, and hopefully they're safe. And just the banging behind me reminded me of that. They're turning on the heating system here, so it's that time of year. Everyone be safe with the heat. Be safe driving. Thank you.
I have one thing to add, Council. Mr. Meek sent the emails out regarding legislative agenda and thoughts on the off-site meeting we were thinking about. So if we can get some of those comments or thoughts back, I'd appreciate it when you get some time. We want to get that thing organized as quick as we can. So thank you. Clerk?
I just had one thing tonight. While we were talking about runoffs earlier, there was a memo that the attorney and I sent out to the council about the conflict in our charter and in our code regarding runoff elections and what happens when candidates tie for a race. In our charter, it says the winner shall be determined by a lot, and then the process for that would be set forth by the council at a meeting. In our code, it says it would immediately go to, of course, a recount first for any of those situations, and then a runoff election, and then if still tied, it would go to a lot. So I need some direction from the council on whether you want to propose a charter amendment or whether you just want to amend the code to match the charter. But we do have sort of a discrepancy there and no rush on it, but something to consider coming up.
Mr. Clear with you.
Just a question on that. Doesn't the charter trump the code, though?
Well, yes, it would, except that if it's just a matter of cleaning up the language, it should be taken care of.
Why don't we, unless there's objection by the council, why don't we just have legal prepare an ordinance that would mirror the charter?
Do that for us, Paul?
Can do.
All right.
And I think the clerk was interested that there was strong feeling that there should be a runoff in case of a tie. There was a strong feeling, then, and six people wanted it, then we could go to
charter change.
A charter change.
Let's not do that. I don't think we'll get six votes.
and we may be talking about a very rare event as a tie, but that it's very possible.
All right, thank you.
Do you have anything else to report, Mr. Ewers?
I do not.
There is no executive session this evening. We are at adjournment.
Right, motion to adjourn, Council.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. We'll see everybody at 7 a.m. tomorrow for our budget meeting. Thank you, Council.
This concludes the podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Please visit us at www.fairbanksalaska.us.